On Monday, the Cleveland Indians beat the New York Yankees in the first round of Major League Baseball's postseason tournament, which promptly triggered speculation over the future of the highest paid and arguably the best player in the game. Yankee third baseman Alex Rodriguez posted one of the best regular seasons in recent memory and is virtually certain to win the American League's Most Valuable Player Award, his second in 4 years in New York, his third overall. There's a clause that allows A-Rod to opt out of his contract and become a free agent. If he does, negotiations could start at $30 million per year. So what should he do? Should Alex Rodriguez cash in on an MVP season and go play for the highest bidder? 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Our baseball pal Alan Schwartz joins us on the phone from New York, where he's a staff reporter for the New York Times and author of Once Upon a Game, Baseball's Greatest Memories. Good to have you on again, Alan.
Well, thank you, Neil. It's good to be here.
And I guess the first question you have to ask is Alex Rodriguez worth that much money?
Well, he's worth whatever somebody will pay him, just like you and me. I mean, I think the question for tomorrow really is can we teach empathy for Alex Rodriguez?
Because
that's really what we have to pursue here.
Yeah, he's unquestionably the highest paid player in baseball already, but maybe it's most unpopular, too.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. I think that everything gets accentuated here in New York. I think, to be honest, he got an incredibly raw deal here in New York. Alex Rodriguez is the best player pretty much any of us will ever see, depending on your age.
Mm-hmm.
And he has not performed lately in October. When he was with the Mariners, he did.
Yes.
In the 1990s. But in New York, under the big, on the biggest stage, under the biggest spotlight, he has been a flop. But he has been the best player in baseball for basically the last 10 years. And he will get paid accordingly.
And when he finishes, unless there's some tragic injury of some sort, he's likely to come away with, certainly in the argument for the best player of all time.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, there's no question that it depends on how you define best. Does that mean the best player who would step on a field? Is it best according to his competition? But he will retire with somewhere around 700 to 900 home runs. He might own the RBI record by the time it's all done. He will probably be somewhere around a 300 hitter. His defense at shortstop was very good before he moved to third base to accommodate the Yankees. But, this guy, he's a very good base runner.
Mm-hmm.
He's an outstanding player, and it is a shame that his reputation here in New York has taken quite a hit due to the scrutiny.
Well, that reputation started to take a hit. You mentioned his time with the Seattle Mariners. He then became a free agent and signed what was then an unheard-of contract for $252 million over 10 years. And that's when people started saying, wait a minute.
Well, the thing is everyone treated that contract as if it was unforeseeable. In fact, it was, and not to toot my own horn, but 2 years before that, I predicted that contract because it was just a natural progression of baseball contracts at the time. And when Alex Rodriguez became a free agent after the 2000 season, he was the best player in the game. And at age 25 only, he was just entering his prime. He was a perfect storm.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, he has become that again. He is the best player in baseball right now, again, with the option of becoming a free agent. The only thing is that now he's 32.
Yes.
It is reasonable to think that he will decline over the length of this contract rather than improve, and it will be interesting to see how teams, and there won't be many of them bidding for him, but how the teams who do handle that.
Well, his agent, Scott Boras, also a polarizing figure in baseball himself, but nevertheless, Scott Boras told your colleague at the New York Times, Jack Curry, for an article that was printed this morning, that he's thinking about, maybe 10 years, $300 million.
Well, again, it's going to come down to how much money a team thinks it has and how much it can afford to spend, depending on what its future revenues are going to be. We shouldn't discount how much money the owners believe they will derive from MajorLeagueBaseball.com, MLB.com, their online venture, which has incredible earning potential, let alone an incredible earning present. That will have a lot to do with how much teams budget for salaries, not just next year, but for the years beyond.
And there's a new set of initials that come up in this conversation. RSN, Regional Sports Networks, and Scott Boras said when he originally negotiated this deal with Texas, he put in this opt-out after 7 years with the theory that regional sports networks were going to be worth a lot more than they were at the time he signed the contract.
Well, certainly Scott, has tried to be as forward-thinking, or at least he wants to admit to have been as forward-thinking as any agent around. He usually is as ingenuitive, and there are different ways of interpreting that.
Mm-hmm.
People in baseball will interpret it that way, as any agent in the business. And let's face it, an opt-out clause is always good. You want options as a player. I remember when Alex was going to become a free agent before in 2000 spring training. I was with him in Arizona, and we were talking about, you know, hey, what would you do? You know, and he always has solicited opinions from people, and I've known him since he was in high school. And I always thought he should have signed a five-year contract before going over to the Rangers, because if I'm him, what do I need all the money for? I want options. I want freedom. And that's, in fact, what's ended up happening. Frankly, he's gotten the money and the freedom. So we'll see how it turns out.
And let's get some callers in on this conversation. We're talking, of course, with Alan Schwartz of the New York Times, author of Once Upon a Game, Baseball's Greatest Memories, 800-989-8255. If you'd like to join us, email talk@npr.org. Chuck is on the line. Chuck calling us from Macomb, Illinois.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
Take my call.
Thanks.
I'm wondering what to do with the Mega Millions I win come Saturday, and I think I might give Alex $30 million to come to the Cubs.
So once you hit the lottery, then you're going to give that money to the Cubs so they can sign Alex Rodriguez?
Gladly.
Uh-huh.
Is this actually Mark Cuban on the line? Is that who we're talking to?
Mark Cuban talking about buying the Cubs.
That's right. That's right. But, yeah, look, guys, baseball teams have a lot of money right now, a lot of money. And it is very possible that a team will sign Rodriguez to a contract that can be described as $30 million per year. It's very possible that the current value, today's value, will be less than that because of inflation and deferred payments and da-da-da-da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's probably going to happen. Why won't it?
Mm-hmm.
The best player, he's the best in his industry. We don't blanch when Tom Cruise makes 20, and he's not really the best, but whoever the best actor is right now, Russell Crowe, I don't know who the biggest draw is.
Yeah, it's biggest box
25,
office.
30 million a pop?
Yeah, biggest box office, not necessarily the best actor. But,
well, yeah, but you know, hey.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about here. Alex Rodriguez is the best in the world at what he does, and the industry he works in makes an incredible amount of profits. So why wouldn't he share in that?
Mm-hmm. Chuck, I guess he could be described as a once-in-a-century player for the Cubs. Oh, I didn't want to rub it in, and Chuck has left us anyway. The Cubs, of course, are also eliminated in the first round of the playoffs this year, and it will be, if they win the World Series next year, exactly 100 years since they won it last. So that there might be some interest in Chicago. A few other teams may be interested as well. People have talked about the Boston Red Sox. People have talked about the California Angels.
Sure, and the Los Angeles Dodgers, which, interestingly enough, was the team that wanted to draft Alex when he was coming out of high school in 1993. Everyone thought he was going to be picked by the Dodgers number two, but the Mariners swooped in and took Alex number one, and so L.A. never got him. But, yes, it's very possible that Alex will relocate to the West Coast. I always thought he would, frankly.
Let's see if we can get Bernie on the line. Bernie calling us from North Branch, Michigan.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I kind of have a comment and a question. I don't necessarily believe in superlatives, but in regards to Mr. Rodriguez, he's saving the game. I mean, we had some dark things happen with baseball. One of the best players the game had ever seen is banned for life. We had a blackout year in 94. However, I have this feeling if he's not going to be a Boston Red Sox, regardless of the $200 million he's going to make, I don't see him, getting $300 million. That Mr. Morris may, want to give him a shot at one of these quote-unquote second city teams. Example of where I'm a fan of, and maybe I'm a little bit bitter along with the other caller. Maybe he'll take a chance with the Pittsburgh Pirates, but realistically I see him as a Red Sox. And one other thing that I want to throw in there, I don't think that the Curt Flood decision was meant to open up the gates the way it is. This has come to a point where it's no longer competitive. It's very Darwinistic. You have George Steinbrenner, who can just write checks, when it used to be all about building a farm system. Granted, those players were exploited and the owners treated them like dirt. There's numerous books, movies about them, but I just don't think that Curt Flood was meant to be this way, and unfortunately it puts a weird feeling in my stomach anytime I go to a ballpark along the nation. And I will take my comment off the air and Thank you, gentlemen. Have a wonderful afternoon.
Okay, Bernie, thanks very much for the call.
I think it should be noted in light of what that gentleman said, and regardless of his concerns about the Curt Flood decision, I do think the Curt Flood decision was made exactly for this type of thing. He said that players should be allowed to get whatever the market bears. But it is important to note that several of the teams in this year's playoffs were actually in the bottom third, I believe, of payroll. The Indians, the Rockies, the Diamondbacks, I believe all three of those teams were not among anywhere close to the Major League's best paid. And those teams really did survive and grow because of their farm system, specifically the Indians and the Diamondbacks. So there is hope for that type of baseball management.
And you could argue that, in fact, the spark that got the Yankees out from being dead at the earlier part of the year and into the playoffs this year was their group of young kids that they have brought up through their farm system, the latest phenom, Jabba Chamberlain, who pitched so well at the end of the year.
Absolutely. And Joe Torre, the Yankees manager for the last 12 years, and he's 12 for 12 in making the playoffs, is apparently probably going to be losing his job when, in fact, this year was supposed to be a transition year. This is the year when the general manager, Brian Cashman, said, we have to go young. We have to take a step back to go two steps forward. They still make the playoffs, but that extra two steps didn't happen, and so Joe might not be around for the ending.
Yeah, he might get the Manager of the Year award and get fired on the same day. You never know. We're talking with Alan Schwartz of the New York Times about Alex Rodriguez and the millions he may reap if he opts to be a free agent. Well, he's going to make millions even if he doesn't. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And here's an email we have from John in Ann Arbor, Michigan. A great player, yes, but as this and recent past seasons have shown, one player can't win or even get to a World Series. So why should A-Rod be worth anything more than what he's paid now? I don't see the logic that says paying a player more money in the hopes that he might get another team to that elusive World Series. And Alan, there were some colleagues, some statistical analysis of how much an individual player might be worth to his team that was published in the Times this past summer. It was interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, remember, what people are purchasing when it comes to players, what a team is purchasing is the illusion that they will help put the team over the top, that they will join with the other acquisitions. I'm sure that whoever gets Alex Rodriguez, they will make at least 6, if not 10 or 12, other moves to complement that. And it's very hard to know exactly how much a player really does derive for his club. A lot of these attendance studies, frankly, are pretty specious, particularly with starting pitchers, because a lot of times what happens is when you have a Pedro Martinez or a Roger Clemens or a Nolan Ryan or a Tom Seaver who do draw people and have higher attendance rates for their starts, a lot of times it's because people who would have gone on Tuesday go on Wednesday instead, and the overall attendance actually doesn't change a whole lot. So it's very difficult to distill the effect of one player among the, you know, either 9 or 15 or 25, depending on how you want to look at it, that make up a baseball team. But we all get paid based on the perception of what we will do during the length of the contract. And why would baseball players be any different?
Let's get Tom on the line. Tom's with us from Columbus, Ohio.
Boom. Yes, I was at a cocktail party, and somebody had mentioned that I'm also actually from Columbus or from Chicago, but that Alex Rodriguez could be going to the Cubs with the idea of course, money, but then partially with the idea of perhaps being part of a new owner. Is that a possibility?
Ah, could he become a player owner, Alan?
That was reported in New York Magazine, I believe, 2 or 3 weeks ago. And there are union rules which forbid a player from being any sort of an owner of a club. I think that what they had discussed, and which Scott Boras, Alex Rodriguez, denied as having been the case, but what the article discussed was that some of his money would be, a substantial portion of his money, would be deferred and would ultimately become an option to purchase a portion of the club. There's no possible way that Alex could own part of the club during his career. It would only be an option, if it's even true, afterward. I think another thing to point out.
A lot of people said the same thing about Mario Lemieux and the Pittsburgh Penguins. That didn't work out so good. I mean, he is the owner of the team.
The union rules are in hockey. I know that in baseball, you don't cross the union.
That's true.
You just don't. And I got to tell you, I don't see hockey being nearly as foolproof.
Well, they were thinking of Mario Lemieux as the savior of the team in that particular case. Which
I'm not familiar with hockey in particular, but the rules in baseball do not get crossed, you know, more than once or twice a generation.
And then at your peril. Tom, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
And let's see if we can get David on the line. David with us from Portland, Oregon.
I just have one question. Why are we still talking about the Yankees? They're gone.
just like we are every year. We've got three out of the four teams left built. You just mentioned this, how they built themselves from within, basically making a few prudent trades and some good free agent signings. Why aren't we talking about that? I mean, the Yankees they spend so much money and then they make it to the playoffs because they spend so much, but they're not that good a team.
Well, we may be talking about possibly the Red Sox, the Mets, the Dodgers, the Angels, or one of these other teams that Alex Rodriguez may be paying for. But Alan Schwartz, he's got a point. You mentioned that the teams in the playoffs with very low payrolls.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, right now you have the Red Sox, which are the Yankees light, let's face it, okay? But then you have the Indians, which rebuilt themselves from a powerhouse team back to another powerhouse, 96 wins this year through their farm system. And then you have the Diamondbacks, who have won a year earlier than most people thought. They have an outstanding farm system. And then the Rockies, whose young players, Jeff Francis, their fine young left-hander, who, by the way, has an engineering degree from the University of British Columbia. I wanted to toss that out. Those guys also built through their farm system. So, yes, I mean, the Yankees really are, in some ways, old news. And I admire the callers pointing that out. I think it is important to remember there are four really fun-to-watch teams left, and just because they ain't wearing pinstripes doesn't mean we shouldn't watch.
David, thanks for the call.
Okay, thank you.
Alan Schwartz, thank you for your time.
My pleasure, Neil, anytime.
Alan Schwartz, staff reporter for the New York Times, author of Once Upon a Game, Baseball's Greatest Memories. He joined us today by phone from New York. I'm Neil Conan, National Public Radio News in Washington.